Thank you for joining us for the Conform to Christ podcast, where we seek to engage the mind, affect the heart, and call people to follow Christ. I'm Jay Jones, and I'm here with George Mays, and it is Free for All Friday. Good morning.
First Free for All Friday we've had in a while.
Yeah. And we have no idea what we're going to talk about. So I guess it's...
Well, that's par for the course, I think.
It's a real Free for All Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Well, we're still here. What you got going on over here?
I'm making a coffee ring over here on this table.
Oh, really?
I need to put something down.
Okay. Off to a good start this morning.
Yeah. There we go. I fixed it.
I wish we had more cameras so people could see just how fancy our setup is back here. We've got like a bunch of bottle caps and... I don't even know where this table came from.
It would be a real letdown for people.
It really would.
It's like, you know, have you seen, like you've got your favorite movie scenes, you're like, oh, it looks so cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then they show you what it looks like when they're filming it, and you're like, really?
Yeah, movie magic.
You got the guy holding the boom over here. Uh-huh. He's like, right? Yep. And the thing, it's right above him, but you never see it in the shot and all the other stuff around, and it's like a big illusion.
Well, sometimes you do.
The podcast.
I guess you can see a boom mic in Madam Web.
Oh, really?
There's a scene where you can see the boom mic.
Quality.
Yeah, they just threw that thing together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we've got podcast magic. And it's all nice behind us, and you come into the room. It's rough.
Yeah.
It's just stuff thrown all over the place. Mm. Here we are.
People banging with hammers on the roof.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, here we are. We're still here. We didn't get raptured.
Yeah.
That wasn't the
end
of,
we're
of the world. The eclipse has come and gone, and all the predictions.
Man, so many.
Have you been seeing all the apologies from all these people who are prophesying?
I haven't seen any apologies.
Yeah, I haven't either. That's the way it usually goes. I mean, how many times has John Hagee said that these blood moons would be some kind of harbinger for the return of Christ?
Oh, yeah, he was one.
And it hasn't.
Yeah. The blood moon. I had a... my dad sent me this really long post, Facebook post. Like, it was so long, but pretty much what it was about is tracking like the path of eclipses, mm-hmm. and how it made an aleph, maybe a Hebrew letter. So he got into some numerology.
Oh, and, yeah,
you know, a lot of that stuff, and then the cities that the eclipse went through, like it's going through Nineveh, like all these cities called Nineveh, mm-hmm. and all this stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, and nothing happened.
Yeah.
I was at a baseball game when it was going on. It was kind of cool.
Yeah?
Got dark out, got cold.
I went home and...
watched it?
Hung out with the kids and let the kids watch it.
With glasses, hopefully?
Yes.
Elliptical retinopathy, that's what they call it, when it burns a hole in your retina.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't get brighter. That's a common misconception. The light is the same. It'd be like if you just went outside and stared at the sun,
mm-hmm.
it would burn a hole in your retina. But you won't do it. You can't do it, right? You're like, oh. But when the moon comes over enough before it's total, like it's dark enough where your pupils open up. And so just looking at it just for a little bit and then it's done. Mm-hmm. Like you're going to have a hole in your vision forever.
Right.
Yeah.
Well.
It kind of makes you wonder, right, about like the ancient people. They just knew not to do it. Somebody had to mess up first, though. You know what I mean?
That probably reinforced their idea that this was some kind of prophetic event.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, we know that this is some message from the gods because this guy looked at it and went
mm-hmm.
blind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I got before the eclipse, one of our church members, he sent me this video, and It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. It's from Daystar TV.
Daystar.
Yeah. Hmm. And it kind of summarizes what was being said about this eclipse before it happened. And so I thought I would show it to you.
Let's see it.
All right, here we go. The tweet is absolutely no one. Daystar TV on the rapture and the eclipse. So turn up the volume and let's check this out.
I will commend that.
I don't know who this guy is.
My gray hair just sporadic all over mine, like in patches. That's
pretty impressive.
This guy's got. He might have had highlights put in. That's too symmetrical.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know who this guy is.
I don't either.
So, but here you go.
That it actually happens on April the 8th. All right. You know what April 8th is. It's 4-8. Like, okay, 4-8. That's what it is. Why is that a big deal? Because Exodus 4 verse 8 is where God Almighty tell Moses, if they will not hear you and believe you for the first sign, they will for the second.
Can you pause it for a second? How do we live? How do we live in, what year is this, 2024? And people still don't know that the chapter verses aren't part of the Bible.
Right.
That they're just put there by humans much later to help you navigate.
Let's look at some 4-8s real quick, Jay.
All right.
Because why has it got to be Exodus 4-8?
Yeah.
Why couldn't it be some other chapter?
Because it doesn't fit.
Some other 4-8. Why couldn't it be Cain spoke to Abel, his brother, and when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him? Why couldn't it be that?
I mean, maybe the eclipse marks a civil war. There is a movie, George, that's just come out this week called Civil War. Can't be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Maybe we could probably make a parody channel. Yeah. And monetize it, and then actually make money just purely off of mockery. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it'd be...
Could be good fun.
It'd be great. Here's a good rapture passage. Song of Solomon.
Yeah.
Song of Solomon 4:8. Mm. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, from the peak of Sinir and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards. That obviously is the rapture. That obviously is...
That's speaking of Christ in the church.
That is obviously...
taking her away. Yes. Mount Hermon is mentioned, and we know the historical significance of the rebellion of the angels at Mount Hermon. Obviously a rapture text.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the point is, why has it got to be Exodus 4:8?
Yeah.
Like the chapter and verse is not what that's not the biblical authors putting that together. These guys have to like scour through their Bible and look at all the 4:8s. That's the one right there. Yeah. It's Exodus 4:8.
They have to have a computer program or something. It's like the numerology. You ever see that numerology? We might have been like toward the end of our. When we were in high school, it got kind of big. People were publishing books about
the Omega Code,
secret Bible codes.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. The Omega Code.
Yeah,
yeah. They would. There were books that were saying, "Look, if you put it together this way, it predicts Princess Diana's death." Mm-hmm. All kinds of. Yeah. You want to continue this?
Sure.
Okay. All right.
That's extraordinary to me. Again, that was something else that I almost fell down over. Exodus 4 verse 8 says, if they do not believe you or heed my message of the first sign, they may believe the message of the second or the latter sign. And that is a 4:8 scripture, friends, and this actually happens on 4:8. So I was looking through this, and whenever I first started looking at this, I was like, Lord Jesus, what are you doing? And the Lord told me, Troy, pay attention to where it first enters in at. And the place where it first enters in at is this place that is called Eagle Pass. Now, Eagle Pass is a very historical place, But not only is it historical in a long time ago, it's actually historical in current events. Have you seen anything in the news about Eagle Pass recently? Now, for all of our Daystar family that's watching all over the planet Earth, you probably wouldn't know that here locally, there's been a tremendous controversy at Eagles Pass. Boom. There.
Not these other other places.
Not Mexico.
Not these other places.
Mexico doesn't count.
No, not these other places.
It's only prophecy stuff.
Right.
Only
that's right.
Matters with its U.S.
That's right.
Yeah.
There it goes. And friends, whenever it enters in there, again, it's going to go across all. There it is right there. That is Eagle Pass. And whenever this actually takes place, I know what an Eagle Pass is prophetically. If you had a dream and it's like, what, Troy, I saw something called Eagle Pass. I would say, you need to look at Matthew chapter 24. And it's where Jesus himself is talking about the coming of the Lord. And he's talking about the rapture of the church. Mm. And whenever he's talking about the rapture of the church, he calls it where the eagles gather.
Bro,
there you go. Yeah,
no apologies, of course.
No. Yeah. Come on,
it's wild stuff, man.
Let's look at that, shall we? Let's look at this place where in Matthew 24 where the eagles gather. Matthew 24, we talked about this in our eschatology series.
Yeah, we did like four videos.
So people can go back and...
You guys want to go...
And look at that, but let's see.
Go check it all out.
Where is it? Oh, where is it? Well, I don't even know what... Is it the King James that says it? Because the ESV says the vultures.
Yeah.
Is there a vultures pass
vultures,
to the eclipse? Yeah, and it doesn't talk about an eclipse in America. Seems like he's talking about Israel.
Mm.
And it says vultures, so I'm not sure where he's getting his information. Maybe the King James
it probably is.
Has eagles.
Yeah.
I don't know, but Matthew 24 is really dealing particularly with the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70.
Yeah.
Jesus even gives a time reference that this generation won't pass away until all these things take place.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes me, we're talking about some of these false prophecies about this eclipse. I'm wondering how much longer the standard dispensationalist interpretation of this generation will not pass away is going to be upheld.
Right.
Because the standard interpretation of this generation, which is Matthew 24:34.
Mm-hmm.
This generation will not pass away until all these things take place. The standard dispensational interpretation is that the generation that sees Israel become a nation again.
Right.
Which happened in 1948.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're getting real close to 100 years.
Right.
After that happens.
Right.
And I wonder how long dispensationalists can hold out until they start saying, this generation who sees these things, it has to be someone else.
Yeah. When they all die, then what?
Mm-hmm.
Go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
Is there more of the video, or is it
that was all of that? I do have another video for you though, and it does have to do with the eclipse.
It does.
Uh-huh.
Because I'm having fun, so I looked up on online just now, and it's Britannica. I'm guessing the people who put out the used to be encyclopedias. You uh-huh. remember those? Do you guys ever have encyclopedias?
We have we still have a bunch of encyclopedias at our house.
So they've got 10 failed doomsday prophecies.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, what do we got?
I don't know what they all are, but it starts with the 2012 Maya apocalypse. You remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
That was people were for real about that.
Yes.
And not, I mean, like, the non-Christian world.
Yes.
They were for real about
it. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So the Mayan, the calendar, I guess, started like 5,000 years ago or whatever, and it has, is very accurate, like
yeah,
ridiculously accurate as far as following the movement of the stars and the constellations, like ridiculous. Yeah. Almost like they had knowledge given to them by a feathered serpent.
Well, they did have towers. They did have those pyramids.
They did.
And they did offer human sacrifices at the top of those.
Yeah. I'm just saying these ancient cultures have this weird figure that always brings them this knowledge. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it failed. Yeah. You remember that one?
That's because the calendar ended in 2012, right? Isn't that what?
Yeah. Like that's it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Wasn't there a movie?
I don't know, but have you ever seen Apocalypto?
I haven't.
Whoa, you should check it out. It's got some violence in it, but mm-hmm. And there is an eclipse in that movie. I don't want to spoil it for you, but it shows their brutality, the absolute brutality. They used to sacrifice on a mass scale, talking like hundreds of thousands of people, the same event. Yeah, but colonizers were the problem. Yeah.
Yep.
Bringing in those things like the wheel and not killing humans for sacrificial reasons. Harold Camping. How about that one? You remember that? Yes. Isn't he the guy who put up the signs everywhere?
Yes.
Was this around 2014-ish? I remember seeing the billboards.
Somewhere. No, it had to have been earlier because we were
2011.
We were still in Kentucky when that happened because our pastor preached a sermon like debunking this stuff. Yeah.
And he did all this numerology stuff. It's always the numerology.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There were billboards all over Kansas City. Mm-hmm. Like, where did he get all this money for this? You know what I mean?
It's the televangelist stuff. Like, they just get bukus of money from people sending their tithes in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we can convince some of those people to just, instead of wasting their money, sending it to Christ Fellowship Church.
Yeah. We've got an empty billboard out in front of our church now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah. Well, you should be up there.
We're going to drop some shade today. His name is Jesus billboard for Easter.
Yeah.
Yeah, the churches that were doing that, they
I'm just saying
took it, that down
if you're
immediately
gonna,
after
if you're
going to
do a big marketing push to get people in, then you got to bring the gospel. And you got to bring it like hard. You know what I mean? Like it's the last sermon you're going to preach in your whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't see a lot of that going on.
No.
Yeah. All about being safe from your bad decisions. Harold Camping. I never heard of this one. The True Way. Taiwanese religious leader Han Ming Chen. You know about this?
You nailed that pronunciation, though.
Yeah.
When was this?
1988. That's probably why we hadn't heard about it.
Yeah,
when we were kids.
7 years old, yeah.
It was UFO-based.
Oh, okay.
A lot of these are UFO-based.
Oh, yeah.
He prophesied millions of devil spirits together with massive flood will result in a mass extinction of the human population. Hmm. Followers could be spared by buying their way aboard spaceships disguised as clouds. Some of these are wild, bro. you remember there was the Halley's Comet one.
Heaven's Gate, right? Is that the Heaven's Gate cult?
This one was like 1910. Comet was the closest, I guess, it's ever been, and we passed through the gas of it. So this one was that as we passed through that gas, it was going to kill everybody on Earth. Where everyone was going to die.
Okay.
And so we're still here. Of course, you know about, I guess it's Millerism. Did Millerism, the Millerites, who did they turn into?
I don't know.
I have to go back and research it. Were they part of the Campbellites?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Campbellites turned into Church of Christ.
Yeah. But this guy failed like three times because he had to recalculate.
Mm. And that's the common out.
Yeah.
Is oh well, I miscalculated. We miscalculated. There's a discrepancy here. I didn't put in for this leap year or something, and so yeah.
Here's a wild one. The Prophet Hen of Leeds. Okay.
Okay.
Again, this is from Britannica. Uh-huh. I'm making this stuff up. In 1806, a domestic hen in Leeds, England, appeared to lay eggs inscribed with the message, "Christ is coming." It's like
I'm convinced.
Hey, this is like what's forbidden in the Bible is like you don't interpret bones, like
right?
You don't throw down animal yes. bones and like open animal guts and then like look for a sign,
right?
It's like forbidden witchcraft,
uh-huh.
But not on eggs. Eggs are
yes. It doesn't say anything about messages on eggs.
Great number of people reportedly visited the hen and began to despair of the coming judgment day. It was soon discovered, however, that the eggs were not, in fact, prophetic message, but the work of their owner, shocker, right, who had been writing on the eggs in corrosive ink and reinserting them into the hen's body.
What? Well, wonders never cease.
This is also the greatest April Fool's prank ever played.
That is some dedication.
Oh, goodness. These are wild. The Great Fire in London. I wasn't aware of this. Because the Bible calls 666 the number of the beast, many Christians in the 17th century Europe feared the end of the world in the year 1666. Hmm. The Great Fire in London, which lasted from September 2nd to September 5th of that year, destroyed much of the city, including 87 parish churches and 13,000 houses. Many saw as a fulfillment of the end-of-the-world prophecy. Given such a large amount of property damage, the death toll of the fire was remarkably low. Reportedly, only 10 people were killed. Hmm. It's always like we're the center of the universe.
Yes.
So whether it's we're in London and a hen laid these eggs, or there's a fire, or it's in America and it's right. Like it's because, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm. There are how many total solar eclipses are there?
They happen all the time.
Yes. Most of them you don't see because they're over the oceans, right?
Yes, so most of them occur over the ocean, but they happen very often.
Yeah, but it's only the ones that occur in America that have any kind of prophetic
right.
significance.
Yeah,
because we're the center of the universe. That's why we're supposed to believe God's word and not subjective signs.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you look at Matthew 24 and the signs that Jesus gives, they're very general. They're not very specific. Really, the only specific sign is Jerusalem surrounded by armies, which happened in the first century.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that we have to be wondering about.
Right.
It's very specific. But you know, wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes, and it's all very general, mm-hmm. and it happens all the time.
Right.
Yeah, so we often want to look at our specific location
mm-hmm.
and interpret things based on where we are.
Right.
Well, if there's any significant portion of the earth where you might expect prophetic signs, it's not going to be America.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we need to be really careful. Don't interpret events in your location as the sign of the end of the world.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Don't look at your chicken nuggets either and be like, this chicken nugget is a prophetic message right. to me from God.
That's right.
The end is coming. You know? Don't look at that Chick-fil-A, like, change their chicken. Do you see that? People are real mad about that.
Oh, really?
Apparently, they have all of these artificial, like, hormones and vaccines and stuff in these chickens. Now they used to didn't have that, but you know, cost. So they made a switch. That's not a sign of the end,
right?
But Christians aren't the only ones that do this. Scientists and you know, non-Christian pagans—they're always making doomsday prophecies. Here's one from 1524, mathematician, German mathematician, I guess world-renowned, Johannes Strauffer, he predicted that there would be a great flood that would wipe out the world because on February 25th of 1524, all of the planets in the universe would be perfectly aligned with the Earth, and it would create some type of gravitational force. It would flood the whole world, and it'd be the end. And they make those all the time, like right. ozone layer, global, like you go back and you read in the 80s, it's like global cooling, like we're going to enter into an ice age and we're all going to like starve to death because we're not able to grow any food anymore. Right. And then, of course, now it's global warming. That'll change again. Just wait several years. It'll change again. This last one, though, this is maybe the earliest one on this page for sure. Montanism. Remember that? Mm-hmm. The schismatic, like, cult. Christian cult that broke off in the second century. Mm-hmm. They were, I guess, you could compare them in some ways to some in the charismatic movement yeah. with their ridiculousness.
Yeah, with their some of their views of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this guy, this began in Phrygia, modern-day Turkey. And based on this visions of Montanus, he claimed to speak under the influence of the Spirit. He believed the second coming of Christ was imminent, and many Christian communities would abandon their normal life in their home, and they migrated to one, I guess, a city in there, and they awaited Christ to return, and it didn't happen.
Right.
It's been going on a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, nothing new under the sun at all, is there?
Nope.
So we just have more technology now so they can run the numbers, you know, and do all that. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I guess your favorite, based off your reaction, it's got to be the hen.
Oh, hands down. There's nothing that comes.
We didn't even talk about Y2K stuff, man.
Even close to, oh, yeah.
Y2K was end of the world mania. Mm-hmm. Our kids will never understand that.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't know. Do you think it's part of general revelation that people are expecting judgment?
Yeah, I think, I mean, people, I'll have an illustration from, it's coming up, just so happens, right? I mean, one just affirms to me the reality, not that I'm the center of the universe, but how many times has it happened perfectly aligned to be preaching on something that happens in the world? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be preaching on general revelation, two verses. Well, there was an eclipse.
Right.
And like perfect illustration for this section. But there's another one because general revelation really occurs in two ways. One, through what you observe in nature, but also there's an inward testimony of the reality of God that is suppressed in our conscience. And there's this sense that all people are aware of a supreme being, and they're aware of the word is oughtness. C.S. Lewis, I think, used that word oughtness. If there is an oughtness to anything, the natural thing that you should do if you're reasoning at all is to ask yourself, where did you get that from? So there's that a guy—
By oughtness, he means you realize you ought to be doing something.
Ought to be
you
doing.
Ought to be living a certain way.
Or you ought not to do something.
Right.
And no one taught it to you. You just know it. So who's the one-minute apologist? What's his name?
I don't know.
I can't. You would know him. He's made several videos. I'll find his name before Sunday. But when he was a teenager, I think he was like 17. He was like always sleeping around and stuff. And he was an atheist. He's a professed atheist. And so he says he came home after one evening out, and he was overcome with this sense of like dread and impending doom, like that he had done wrong. And he had some real cognitive dissonance going on, right? Because he professes to be an atheist, but yet he feels guilty for doing what he just did. And it was so overwhelming, he was like, man, like, who am I guilty to? And someone gave him a Bible, and he was like 5 years old. So he's like, I'm going to read the Bible. Mm. And he read the Bible, and he was converted.
Wow.
But that's the inward testimony.
Right.
And people have that. They'll suppress it and harden their heart to it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think people know, like, they have a sense of it. even like watching the eclipse, like non-believers move to tears. But instead of worshiping God, they worship creation in general. How awesome is creation? Oh my gosh. Like right. I had this spirit. How can you have a spiritual, moment
right.
because of an eclipse if you don't believe in a God mm-hmm. and you're just matter?
Yep.
Makes no sense. Right. But it's a testimony that God has given in the universe that literally the only place, and this is for real, the only place you can observe an absolutely, totally perfect. Now, there are places in the universe where you can observe an eclipse, either partially or where the moon is just so big, it completely blackens out the sun, right? But on Earth, it's perfect. Mm-hmm. Like the moon fits perfectly in the sun.
Yeah.
And it's still the only place in the known universe that that happens. That's mind-blowing.
Right.
That's absolutely mind-blowing. It just so happens it's the only place where there are observers that could even see that. Mm-hmm. The odds of that happening are beyond what we could attribute to chance. Right. They're just beyond.
Right.
The universe is we're not even talking the Milky Way galaxy. How many billions of stars are there in the Milky Way? Like, ridiculous. And then you're talking billions of galaxies mm-hmm. in the universe. And this is the only place you can see that? Like, God has not left himself without a testimony. We're without excuse.
I feel like you're preaching your sermon already.
Yeah.
You fired up? You ready?
It's just really amazing if you think about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I came across this video. It's just a minute long.
All right.
You know, we've had the eclipse. There's been some big earthquakes lately.
There was supposed to be one during the eclipse. Mm-hmm. There, it didn't happen. In Appalachia, they said it was going to pull up the fault, and it didn't happen, George.
There's the cicadas. Have you been reading about the
cicadas? I forgot.
Once every 17 years or something.
Well, they're the two broods.
Yes.
And did it happen? Because it was supposed to happen during the eclipse.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
I need to know.
Dude.
I need to know if they came out.
This is, I don't know if you saw this or not. This is from The View.
Let me prepare myself.
I got you already.
All right, let me prepare.
This is The View, and talking about these things. It's just a minute long. But this is, I think, the definition of professing to be wise, they became fools.
Okay.
All right. All right, here we go.
All right. Memology.
I mean, I have to say, Karen Dupiche, our wonderful makeup artist, when the earthquake was happening, she put her coat on and she was like, Jesus is coming.
I'm out.
I'm leaving. We've got a solar eclipse. She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Okay, for the first time in
two different kinds of cicadas
are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
Bro, what's up with Whoopi Goldberg, bro?
Every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe you know better.
But I will say
all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists.
It's always climate change, bro. Climate change. Like the cicadas haven't been coming out like back forever.
All right. So solar eclipse.
Yeah.
Earthquakes.
Yeah.
Cicadas.
Yeah.
Maybe climate change is real, Jack.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you've got somebody who has been so indoctrinated with the climate change dogma
mm-hmm.
that anything at all
is climate change.
Yeah. A solar eclipse, uh-huh. which is unaffected by any kind of climate, earthquakes, uh-huh. which has nothing to do with climate change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. You're professing to be wise. When you've got Whoopi Goldberg pushing back on it, you know that you've gone off the deep end, because Whoopi Goldberg is pretty crazy.
There's some serious cultural appropriation going on that video. Did you see that? Her hair? Mm. That's very Viking. Right?
I guess. Yeah. I guess so. Yeah.
But it's the greatest form of flattery, from what I've been told.
Yeah. I guess.
The eclipse. All right. What else can we talk about?
New Gallup poll came out recently. Uh-huh. And it's studying happiness and Gen Z. Mm.
What years are Gen Z? Do you know? I'm going to have to look this up because I want to know. What years?
I was hoping that it would say on the report. I don't see it.
Oxford Dictionary says the group of people who were born between 1990s and 2010.
Okay.
Are Gen Z.
Okay.
So my little Evangeline's safe.
Yes. Yes. So
I have to check on the others.
Our oldest kids would be Gen Z. Mm. And the question was, are you happy?
Yeah.
And without looking at the report, Jay, what would you think?
No.
No.
No, definitely not.
No.
They look like zombies. Like I'll be up for school activities, and I'm telling you, like 90% of the kids are walking around like their soul has like been mm-hmm. extracted out of their body.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It'll make you depressed just to drive through and see them all.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad.
Yeah. Gen Z would be the current college, high school kids. You can pull this up on the screen if you want to, Larry. There's some data here. Self-reported happiness among Gen Z. In uh-huh. general, I consider myself a blank person. Only 25% say very happy.
Yeah.
Then you've got this somewhat happy here, 48%. And then you got kind of the malaise right here, 16%, neither happy nor unhappy. Uh-huh. And then what's interesting is it says that it shows that it declines as they get older. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty happy up here, 80% up here, 12 to 14 years old, and then you hit puberty.
Yeah.
And then it just steadily goes down. It takes a pretty big drop in high school and college years.
Yeah. That's when they all got a cell phones right there. Right on the decline.
There's stuff on here about social media. Mm-hmm. But you can go onto the Gallup website and you can download this. But what I wanted to highlight, and this may be something that comes up in a later sermon, mm-hmm. is you look over here and it's talking about sexual orientation and marital status.
Yeah.
And parenthood. Uh-huh. And look at this. You've got somewhat happy over here. Let me see. Straight people. Uh-huh. 50% would say that they're it's hard to see this.
Somewhat happy.
It's hard to see the there we go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to see. They really pick some bad.
Yeah.
Somewhat happy. 50%.
Uh-huh.
And very happy, 23%.
It's a lot of happiness.
Look at the homosexual community. Mm-hmm. Drops off by like half.
Yeah.
Here for very happy. Mm-hmm. And overall, 73% of straight.
Yeah.
Would be very or somewhat happy. Mm-hmm. Only 57% of the homosexual community. Another significant one is single, never married, and domestic. Partnership or living with your partner mm-hmm. compared with married.
Yeah, that's a big contrast.
Big difference here with married people. And then children, having children versus not having children, there's another pretty
huge difference.
Pretty big difference. Yeah. Again, things that we already know, right?
Right.
We already know these things.
Yeah, the recipe for human flourishing and happiness is given to us by God in His Word, mm-hmm. you know, and when we strike out on our own path and forge our own destinies, the result now, obviously, empirically with data, shows you're less happy if you don't follow God's plan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so that's good. That's good data to have.
Yeah. There's some other stuff, feelings of significance and purpose.
So the recipe, according to that last page you showed, if you want to be maximally happy in the world, is to be heterosexual, get married, and have children.
That seems to be what this data is saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be suppressed.
Oh, yeah. Feelings of significance and purpose declining as they get older.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I was looking for one other. Oh, there's significant stuff about sleep.
Yeah.
On average, getting enough sleep. Not fantastic.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But the one I really wanted to... oh, yeah. Being anxious.
Yeah.
Feelings of anxiousness. Another one, really significant, I think.
Uh-huh.
Look at this. The wow. homosexual community.
Yeah.
74% have feelings of anxiousness. And over here, 50% of feeling depressed.
Uh-huh.
And if you look, if you compare the all the other groups, I mean, here's the total, all of Gen Z. Compared with this one community here,
mm-hmm.
it's wildly different.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the next closest under stressful would be age 21 to 23,
uh-huh.
which is right out of college,
right?
Like trying to establish your life,
right,
career.
Right.
That's pretty stressful.
Uh-huh.
But not. I mean, it's not even close.
Right,
it's not even close to the homosexual community.
Yeah, 74%,
and then
you
compare it again with the heterosexual,
uh-huh.
and wild difference.
Maybe it's because they're celebrated so much. I'm just joking. I mean, like, how many
do they need more visibility? Is that
I'm gonna have to calculate it. I think they have over like 100 days of celebration, mm-hmm. for them in the calendar.
Yeah.
That's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah,
over 100 days of celebrating. So. It's definitely not because, I mean, they're the most celebrated people in our society.
Yes.
Today. It's not because they're being like persecuted or right. they're the opposite of being persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the data is revealing something about humanity in general.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This next one, Gen Z, who often compare themselves to others, are more than twice as likely as their peers to often feel anxious.
Yeah.
Man, look at this. Rarely or never compare themselves to others, 28% feel anxious, while those who always or often compare themselves to others, 67% of feelings of anxiousness.
Yeah.
It's because you're always trying to keep up with other people. Your identity is always based on what other people think about you.
Yeah, social media is not good for young people.
Yeah, and there's social media over here. Mm-hmm. Impact of social media on anxiety, stress, and sadness.
Uh-huh.
Anxiety up here.
Oh, yeah.
Sadness, stress. Look at that. Stress. 80% spend more than 20 hours per week on social media.
Uh-huh.
It's not great.
Mm-hmm.
That probably plays a part in comparing themselves to others because social media is fantasy.
Yeah.
It's a fantasy world.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
People are not
posting their worst days.
Yeah, promotes
They're posting their best days.
Yeah, it promotes coveting. So if you live a lifestyle of coveting, you're going to live in misery.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like God knew what humans need when He told us what we should not do.
Right.
Yeah.
And the final one I wanted to show was Gen Z. Who feel they can talk to their parents are at least twice as likely to feel loved by, supported by, and connected to others.
Mm. Should not be a shocker.
I mean, all of this is stuff that is just what the Bible teaches us.
Right.
But what you're, what I mean, you're right. It's just all going to be suppressed.
Yes.
I mean, people are going to look at these, this data and, uh-huh. and say, oh, I wonder what programs, what government programs can help
right.
With this. Or, you were talking before we started recording about how Gen Z are the ones that are the most psychiatric.
Oh, yeah.
Treated.
They're the most psychiatric treated generation in history.
And probably drugged.
And drugged. Yeah. Yeah, that's been the that's what's been going on. I remember, I think Drake was in the second grade, maybe. Might have been the third grade. I can't remember exactly what grade, but and he's very smart, right? So he was having some problems, so I got called up to the school, and this is when they were like trying to teach. You remember when they changed education for a minute, then they switched back? It was a stupid experiment. But they were really teaching for these tests rather than just teaching. Mm. There was, I can't remember what the program was called, but I was sitting outside the office, and he was just angry. And I was like, "What? Why are you so angry?" And he's like, "I got it the first time. I don't need to hear it five times." And I'm like, "Well, chill out, bro. Like, chill. We're going to figure out what's going on." So we have a meeting with teacher head, two teachers, actually. And they were like, he's disrupted the class. He gets up. He'll just like randomly get up and walk around and whatever. And then she's like, you know. And they were like, our recommendation is that, you know, you have him put on medicine. And I'm like, no, that ain't happening. He's not getting put on medicine. So the principal at the school actually played in the NFL. So he's like, no, he doesn't need that. I was like that when I was young too. He's just an active boy. Like, we'll get him a stand-up desk. Okay, so he can stand at the desk and like swing these things. They have like things for his legs. And then when he finishes all his work, because he gets all his work done so quickly, we'll let the teacher send him to the library and he can research whatever he wants and submit like little papers on it. So that's what he did the rest of the year. And guess what? No problems.
Yeah.
No problems at all. But a lot of people won't push back. They would just put their kids on drugs. And now they see all of the side effects of having your kids on those drugs from the time they're little has had profound effect on them. Mm-hmm. It's like altered them.
Yeah.
And then the therapy. They're the most they're the generation that's had the most therapy in history.
Yeah.
And the result obviously isn't good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can look up the Gallup poll. It's called the Walton Family Foundation Voices of Gen Z Study on Youth Happiness. Mm-hmm. And we as a church, we need to be ready to have an answer to the sadness and the anxiety and the stress that this generation has, understanding what's going on. Uh-huh. They just feel profound sadness. Mm-hmm. And then they think all these other things are going to fill that sadness. They think that maybe I just need to be put on medication and that will help me to feel happy again. But from the studies that we're seeing, it looks like it's just the rejection of a biblical worldview results in sadness.
Right.
And that's exactly what we should expect to see.
Right.
That's why Psalm 1 begins with blessed or happy. Mm-hmm. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Mm-hmm. You want to be happy? Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate upon it and obey it.
Yeah.
And that will go a long ways towards making you happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, just think about my own life. I've done a lot of different things in my life and had different vocations and all kinds of stuff. I've pretty much been blessed to, I don't really feel like there are things that I want that I can't get, but the greatest happiness that I have in my life by far is not even anything close to it other than the Lord himself, right? We got to give that pat an answer, but is... is my wife, and then followed closely behind her is my kids.
Yeah,
it's not even close. Mm-hmm. It's not even close.
Yeah,
it's like God gave us those things as a gift to increase our. But Ecclesiastes, what does Ecclesiastes tell us to do? Mm-hmm. To eat, drink, and be married, and enjoy your wife.
Yeah,
that's what it says. Like it tells us that's like the the key. Like, if you want a secret key, here's a man that has been able to try every pleasure in the world, and he tells you, work hard, eat and drink, and enjoy your wife. Like, that's such a simple answer, but I think it's clearly, and now.
And post it on Facebook.
Yeah. For everyone to see. Yeah.
Well, I got one more clip. And this kind of, I think this is kind of a transition from this report where Gen Z is comparing themselves to others and is making them unhappy and stressed out because of this kind of preaching.
Oh, and so another preaching clip?
This is a clip from March 14th. So this is a month old. But we've been sick, and we haven't been able to talk about it. And I'd completely forgot about this. I was going through all the things that I send myself to for the podcast, and I'd forgotten about this. How could I forget about this clip? But this is the kind of preaching that this younger generation is getting, and it's going to make them unhappy.
Yeah,
because this is not the source of true happiness. Mm. This is actually blasphemy. Yeah. But that's what we do on Free For All Fridays is we show videos of people blaspheming, and then we make fun of them.
Yeah.
So here we go. Maybe. Oops. Here we go.
What if God worships me? Can you say that with me? What if God worships me? A God who worships me is quite the statement. I know, but follow me. Now, I get it. We've started to worship a very big heteronormative white Jesus that we constantly thank for standing between us and a mean God.
Can you pause it?
But really.
This has got to be a trans. Got to be. That's a big man hands. You can't hide it.
That's a guy. I mean, he's got like a goatee. Like, it's a guy.
Yeah, I know, but
he's probably
looks like a girl.
I don't know. He's not heteronormative. I'll tell you that.
Does anyone on planet Earth actually worship a white Jesus? I'm getting tired of hearing this. I know of no one. Maybe
fringe like neo-Nazi people, but
I cannot even think of a moment in my life, all the way back to my childhood, where I thought Jesus was white, ever. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, let's just keep going.
Okay.
Really, who, what, when, and why? Worship has become so God-centered that it risks the subjective colliding of our own things, our biases, etc. What if worship is us on the mountain of transfiguration? This space where God spoke that God was well pleased. This place where God spoke about God's Son in such a way that the light shone on him and God looked and said, wow. What if worship is Genesis 3:8 that says, when God says, where are you? And who told you that you were naked? Who told you that there was a flaw in your beauty? The God who meets us and keeps confirming that who we are is good enough. What if that's worship?
We declare that you are a God that worships us.
What?
That's how much you love us. That's how much you desire us.
Oh my gosh,
that's
bro.
How much you are for us.
Like, demons
when
are real,
step
dude.
Into
demon,
your presence.
Like, the... You know, like, when the Ghostbusters scene, when all the ghosts bust out and they're, like, going through the city like crazy?
Yeah.
Like, that's America. It's demons. Mm-hmm. The demons have busted loose, and they have control. They have control over all of these churches and all of these people. They don't even realize it. They're like, there's a puppet master, like, above that guy, and then he's just, like, controlling him. Mm-hmm. Say, God worships us, do it. And he does it, and then I think the demons all laugh. They're like, this clown actually said it. He actually said something we wouldn't even say.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, it's crazy. Mm.
What if God worships us?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's demonic, that's, right there.
Bro. I mean, that's been the sin.
Yeah.
Since Genesis 3.
Yeah.
Like that's the sin of Adam and Eve. It's not the fruit.
Mm-hmm.
It's wanting wisdom. It's wanting to know good and evil without God.
Yeah.
It's wanting it.
Self autonomy.
That's what they wanted
to determine one's own future.
Yeah. That's wild. Mm-hmm. Should someone have stood up and been like,
what? "Yes, they should."
Don't you realize that the Mount of Transfiguration that Mark says that his face became whiter than white?
Oh no! Oh my goodness! Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it's that's wild stuff, and this is probably not. I don't think this is fringe stuff anymore. I think this is just becoming more and more commonplace. Mm-hmm. Is that this idea that we're the center of the universe and God's focused on us because
right?
Why wouldn't he be?
Right. Yeah, because we're so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy.
But that's the kind of preaching that the younger generations are going to have. I mean, you look at this shot.
Yeah.
That's Gen Z.
Yeah, it is.
This is the generation that study is looking at.
Yeah.
The generation that's unhappier than all the other generations.
Yeah. What they need to be told is they're not the center of the universe.
Yeah.
Right. In the grand scheme of things.
Especially this girl right here, she needs to be told to her face. Mm-hmm. This guy's over here, he's like, "You are a God who worships us," and she's over here.
Did he say we declare? Yes. We declare? Did he say that? We declare.
I think so. Right?
Yeah. You can't declare, like, it's always mixed with the Eastern religions, the declaring infiltration. Yeah. The ability to declare and to alter reality by what you say. Yeah. Mm. All tied together.
Yep.
Crazy. Yeah. It's crazy. We live in a crazy world. Yep.
There you go. That's all I've got for you, Jay.
Yeah. It's all going to collapse, though. It can't hold.
Yeah.
Can't hold forever. Yeah. That's all I've got, too, George. It's 57 minutes.
All right.
Of unscripted material. Where else are you going to find that? Where else are you going to find it? Just two guys just sitting down, cup of coffee, making coffee rings on a dilapidated table, having no idea what they're going to do, and they just come in and they just drop a banger.
Is that what this is?
Where else can you go for
Have
that?
You not? Did you not follow the controversy on Twitter? This I guess it was last week. Someone posted something about how when he's listening to the podcast, he just wants the information. He has no interest in people just sitting around talking and having a good time.
And you can just go somewhere else for that.
It got a lot of pushback. I mean, some people are like, "Yeah, I just want the information."
Yeah.
And the people who are responding to that is like, "Go read a book."
Right.
A lot of people are saying what they like about podcasts are the ones where you actually feel like the human element.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just an information dump, but it's actually being communicated through like humans.
Yeah.
So hopefully that's if people are watching this and have been watching it for a long time, they're in the camp of they want more than just an information dump.
Yeah, hopefully.
Obviously.
Yeah, yeah. Close us out, though, like a robot. Just the information.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you do it?
Oh,
thank you for joining us today on the Conform to Christ podcast.
That's pretty good.
That? Yeah.
You want me to do it? Why don't you do it? Why are you putting me on the spot doing this? I'm not your little monkey.
I opened it up. You crank
the box in. Oh, you want me to finish?
You've got
to
close it out.
All right. Well, we've talked about doomsday prophecies and solar eclipse and
hens. Hens lean eggs.
Hens and prophetic eggs and Gen Z and sadness and all kinds of stuff. So hopefully this has been beneficial for you. Hopefully you've enjoyed the conversation. I know that we aren't always, we don't always stay on task. So hopefully it's beneficial for you. It hasn't been a complete waste of your time.
Hopefully not. Hopefully
sometimes
not.
We stop recording. I'm like, I don't know about this one. So hopefully it's helpful for you. If it has been, make sure to like, subscribe, and share. And please leave a comment. If you have something to add to the conversation, we would love to hear from you. And we hope you have a great weekend and a fantastic Lord's Day. God bless.